Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming-of-age stories often center around a young person who finds their way via an animal companion. A new film that comes out today on Netflix takes this well-known plot line and infuses it with fresh energy and real-life cowboys from Philly. Adapted from the YA novel Ghetto Cowboy by Jay Neary, the film is titled Concrete Cowboy, and it features an all-star cast including Idris Elba, Lorraine Toussaint, Method Man, Caleb McLaughlin, and Jarrell Rome. Caleb McLaughlin stars as a young teen named Cole who is sent to live with his dad, Harp, played by Idris, in North Philadelphia after continually getting into trouble at school in Detroit where he's been living with his mom. Once he arrives in the city of brotherly love, though, Cole is shocked by his dad's lifestyle. He helps run a horse stable near their house and even houses a horse in his living room. But Cole slowly comes around after getting a little too close to the dangerous lure of the streets and eventually befriends the hardest-to-tame horse in the stable while learning to appreciate the rich history of the neighborhood's urban riders. The film was shot in North Philly and also cast real writers in supporting roles. Joining me now to discuss this incredible story and the making of Concrete Cowboy is Caleb McLaughlin. Hi, Caleb.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. And director Ricky Staub. Hi, Ricky.
Hey there.
So, Ricky, the story goes, you know, you live in Philly, you have an office there, you looked out your window and you saw a man on a horse in the city. What did you first think? And then what did you do?
Well, it was not only a horse, he was in a buggy that he had like tricked out with speakers and rims. So it was even more of an extraordinary image. Which we actually recreated for a shot in the film. But yeah, he was the first one I met and introduced me to what was happening at Fletcher Street and even more broadly at the, you know, all the black cowboys in Philadelphia. And then that's actually when I, you know, just went on the internet like anyone else and I found Greg Neary's book as well.
So, you know, you've been working, Ricky, in film for a while and doing shorts and doing commercial kind of work. Why did you decide that you wanted this story to be your debut feature?
Well, my company that I launched in 2011, I actually launched it with a mission to be able to hire adults returning home from incarceration. Mm-hmm. And so I speak every year in court. And in 2017, I was there speaking about our company and offering it to some of those who are newly home. And one of those individuals was a guy named Eric Miller. And he'd been home for a week and told the judge that he'd already purchased a horse. And which I found very fascinating because I don't hear that every day when I'm in court. And so we, long story short, struck up a friendship and I started to learn more about really the situation down at Fletcher Street and all the different groups there that, you know, were facing gentrification issues because of the city. And so he really wanted to tell the story to help it be like a catalyst for them to gain attention for what was happening. And at that point, I just put out a short film that was getting me some attention. And so it kind of checked a lot of boxes for me from like a heart level. And just the story itself is so beautiful.
Now, Caleb, I don't know if you've seen, there's a meme going around how it started and how it's going. And it's of you on the bike in Stranger Things. And then this picture of you on a horse looking really manly with a bandana around your neck, how it started, how it's going. What was it about this character of Cole that appealed to you as a young actor trying to expand his career?
Yeah, I mean, coming onto the project and reading the script and seeing my character Cole and how his character is so complex and he was going through so much in his life, I felt like I knew I needed to hop on this project. I knew it was going to challenge me as an actor. So, I knew it was going to elevate me as a person and as an actor, but yeah, that's when I knew I wanted to be on this film.
How did it end up challenging you as an actor?
Cole, his life is totally different from mine and how I grew up. One of the most important relationships in the film is his relationship with his father. And my relationship with my father is amazing. I love my father. He's been there from the beginning. He was actually there supporting me every day watching me film the movie. So I had to really dive in deep and really understand Cole's emotions towards his father, his anger, like the absence that his father wasn't there. I had to really feel that.
I can imagine that's really, when you are really close with a parent and then you realize that, you know, not everybody has this, and like how painful this would be not to have this relationship. How did you find those emotions? Because it does sound like you and your dad are tight.
Yeah, we are. Well, I actually did speak to my dad about his relationship with his father. Mm-hmm. His father is kind of his relationship with his father is kind of similar to Cole and Harp in the film. And when my dad tells me stories about him and his father and conversations they had, he kind of gets emotional and, you know, cries a little bit and starts tearing up. So I kind of took his emotions and put it into my performance. And then also talking with Ricky during a month before I even went to Philadelphia, me and Ricky spoke every day. I spoke to Idris. I spoke to, and then being in Philadelphia, being in my costume, my outfit, just immersing myself into the community helped me a lot.
So, Ricky, we've got the coming-of-age story. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But you brought it up, this idea, these issues of gentrification and erased history. Tell me why that's important to you personally, and then how you thought about how you could do those issues justice in this film.
Yeah, you know, I think there, whether it's, you know, this community of cowboys or other communities, you know, around the world, I think there are these intangible pieces of like history and heritage that communities have. And at least from my perspective, watching what gentrification does, more or less without regard to those, you know, stakehoods and those neighborhoods. And so I didn't want to like paint, you know, the city as like an evil empire. I get that it's a nuanced conversation and there's business and money behind it. But I really wanted the film to invite viewers into how I was invited into this community. You know, I was an outsider. I didn't know anything about it. I was much like Cole. And I fell in love with these folks, with Eric, with Mill, you know, the cast that are the real members of the community. Like genuinely love them and will well beyond this film's existence. And I just really wanted viewers to like feel that and make their own decisions on how they feel about this issue. Because it is a nuanced topic, and I think what happens with gentrification is it's just not talked about. You know, we see things wiped away and wiped out, and, you know, had we not made this film, that's exactly what would have happened. You know, they're in the process of losing their land right now. So
we're talking about the film Concrete Cowboy. I'm speaking with its writer-director, Ricky Staub, and its star, Caleb McLaughlin. Let's listen to a clip from Concrete Cowboys, and it's detailing this history of the black cowboys in Philadelphia. Let's take a listen.
Where'd you guys come from if all the black cowboys got deleted?
I've been there since I was 9. Right down here, riding ponies and driving horse and wagons.
Oh, man, we all over. The history here is deep. Everybody like used to get their food from wagons, horses and carriages, buggies and all that. Uncle Charlie, like what we talk about back in the day.
What happened with that was, as the years was going on, the city decided they don't need horses no more. It was getting trucks. So they say, but we don't need the horses no more. But all of us down here, we love horses.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And that's how all these stables popped up.
See, you got 31st Street, you got 32nd, you got Cobb Creek.
Yep.
Freddie Marcus Easton. Street.
White House.
And the number one on that list, 9th and Tioga.
So, Ricky, there are real-life Fletcher Cowboys in the film who are not professional actors. Why did you want to have the real-life Philly horseback folk in the film?
I mean, that was created at the very beginning. It was the heart and DNA of the film. You know, even previous to Caleb or Idris coming on board, the plan, you know, when I was with Eric and Mill, who plays Paris in the film, we were putting the script together. The plan at that time was to actually use the entire community for all cast members. But, you know, when Idris and Caleb want to be in your movie, you make an adjustment. But I was really excited that, you know, Idris and Caleb really They vibed with that approach because I just felt like it was going to elevate the film, and there was no better way to tell the story than to actually give the microphone to the actual community to tell it. You know, even that clip you just showed is a gentleman, his name's Choo Choo Charlie, who's well over 90, I believe. Mm-hmm. But even in the inception of that scene, those lines that he says there were actually originally written for Idris's character, and just in the spirit of the filmmaking process, Idris pulled me aside that night and was like, I think we actually need to give this whole monologue to Choo Choo and let him just run with it. And so we just pivoted right there. I was like, great, let's get him in there. And Choo Choo, I was like, you know this history, don't worry about the lines, just, you know, preach, tell us. And so that's what made the film. And there were 100, you know, other choices like that throughout the whole process, and I just think it makes it way more authentic and beautiful for the community, which was our heart, is that they could look at this film and say, that is us.
Yeah, Caleb, you're a professional actor. I mean, this is what you do for a living. I'm curious, what was your experience working with both with professional actors and with non-professionals? What did it feel like? What did you get out of it?
Oh, man, I loved it a lot. I loved Ricky's idea of just putting the community in the film. It made me feel like I was a part of Fletcher Street. I almost forgot I was acting in the film. I almost forgot I was Caleb. I was like, I was Cole, you know? And in that particular scene, I think we just sat down for like an hour just really talking about the history. And every moment that you see in that film is like real history, the real conversations that we were having. I mean, I had my lines that were in the script, but that to like keep the conversation going for the questions that were asked. So, but yeah, like everything that was happening in that moment, I was learning as the viewers were.
Let's play a clip of you, Caleb. This is where we learn about your character's talent for taming one of the toughest horses at the stables. Your character speaking to a neighbor named Nessie, played by Lorraine Toussaint, and you're discussing the horse whose stable you ended up sleeping in the night before.
I see him at Boo. Your bunkmate last night. Harp just bought Boo at the auction. Took four of us to get him in the trailer. Shook up, scared, dangerous to even the roughest of these riders. You should have got your head bashed in. What do I find? Daniel laying there in the lion's den, snuggled up side by side.
What that mean?
Means the Boo's yours.
Nah.
He won't let anyone else near him.
No.
Caleb, had you ever worked with horses before this shoot? And what kind of training did you do?
Nah, actually, I mean, the last time I've ridden a horse before filming was my sister's 6th birthday party. So training for concrete was an intense experience, but it was also great. Yeah, I did a month of training, before I filmed in Philadelphia. I had to learn everything about the horse. I had to clean the horse, learn how to clean the horse's, horseshoes. I had to bond with the horse, have a spiritual connection. I had to do everything. I remember Ricky, like right after I found out I got the auditions, me and him were just texting almost every day before we started filming. And he was like, man, I'm going to get you a trainer. I want you to learn everything about the horse. I want, when you come here and when this movie comes out, I want people to see Philly. I don't want them to see anything else. I want them to see that you know how to ride this horse and this is not your first time riding. And I was like, all right, bet. And I was not expecting this type of training. It was intense.
You know, a lot of people feel like horses have really healing properties. There's something very special about that relationship between the person and the horse that it's almost hard to put into words. Did you have that experience, Caleb? Do you understand why people talk about horses the way they do now?
Yes, honestly, yeah, like I actually did a week of just bonding with the horse before I even rid the horse. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally was just, every time I came to the stables, I was talking to the horse that I was working with, brushing and cleaning it, so you can build that spiritual bond. Because people think that, you know, you just have to hop on the horse and yeehaw into the sunset. But once you build that spiritual bond with the horse, the ride is smooth. Like in the film, I don't want to give too much up on it.
Don't give too much away.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But his Cole, his horse Boo, you'll see in the film when they build like a spiritual connection. The scene that you guys just heard, Lorraine already knew that. Nessie, mm-hmm. her character, she already knew that. And you'll see his journey along the way and how he builds that relationship with his horse.
Ricky, let me ask you a nuts and bolts kind of question. As a director, yeah. dealing with all of these beautiful animals on, you know, a particular time frame with a particular kind of budget, what were your challenges?
Oh, there are many, but I mean, animals, everyone had told me they're, you know, difficult to work with and you should avoid it if possible, which I can see the truth in it. There were a couple of moments during shooting where I was like, why did I take one of the hardest things in my life and make it even harder? But honestly, I have to give a lot of credit to the trainers, this company LTD. You know, we did an enormous amount of prep, and a lot of my approach was, you know, they were telling me about all the animals and telling me what they can do and what their strengths are. So I really wanted to play to those strengths. So we looked at the script and there were things in there that they're like, yeah, this horse can't do that. I'm like, well, what can they do? You know, what should be happening here? Because again, I was always leaning on the fact that I didn't grow up a cowboy. I didn't grow up riding horses, but these folks did. So I was like, you know, what would this kid be doing? What would he be learning? You know, what would happen if he just jumped on this horse like this and they would, like, oh, they would kick their legs out to, you know, fight him off. So, you know, in the scene where he's breaking him, you know, all that like violence with the horse was something that, you know, they really helped me lean into of like, this is a gifting of the horse and its training. So let's like sculpt that around it. So, you know, a lot of it came in prep because on the day it was just, you know, we had to shoot fast and shoot a lot just due to our budget.
Mm-hmm. Ricky, Concrete Cowboy has a look to it. It's very saturated. There's shadows. The camera work is sometimes handheld. To your point, you have to get the animals' emotion and their whole vibe in there. What were you thinking? What kind of conversation did you have with your DP about what you wanted this film to look like and what you wanted the look to evoke?
Well, I wanted the film to have a nostalgic feel. So a lot of our reference came from photography from the actual cowboys. This place had been there for over 100 years. So I'm looking at photographs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And they always had this like warm, hot feel to them. So we wanted that in the film, even to the point where Caleb will tell you, I had everyone just, if you were sweating, you were sweating. There was no hair and makeup to dry you off. Like yeah. I wanted, like, that is life down there. Caleb hated it. He's like,
Oh my God.
You look good. It was so hot.
For real. I'm sweaty yeah. right now.
But then honestly, you know, like, go ahead, bud.
No, I just wanted to speak on how good Ricky is. Like, he's hands on with his work. Like, we will be filming a scene probably inside the house, and then he'll look at his watch and be like, okay, I want to go over to the stables because I like how the sunset drops at this time. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I was sitting here yesterday at the stables just seeing where I wanted to shoot the next shot at, and at 6 o'clock is the perfect time. And then everyone would be running over with equipment. He's like, all right, let's go. And he had his boots on, tied up on his ankle and everything. I was like, wow, this man is working.
Yeah. We saved a lot of money because I was like, we don't need director's chairs and all that other stuff. Like, I'm never going to sit down. So,
He was running but everywhere. Yeah.
I was gassed. Yeah. I was just as sweaty. So, but yeah, all those things I didn't help. I was, man. There were a couple of days where I was like, what's happening?
I know, man.
Before I let you go, Caleb, I will have people yell at me if I don't ask you for a Stranger Things update for season 4.
Man, I don't even know, honestly. I mean, we're filming right now. We're trying to get it to you guys as soon as possible. Yeah, it's like, because of COVID, everything has been postponed, but we got back into filming the end of last year. So yeah, we're just filming right now, just trying to get this done so you guys can see it. But right now, Concrete Cowboy is out on Netflix, so check it out.
I got you. I appreciate you answering that. So you saved my DMs from horror. I appreciate it, Caleb.
Okay, got you.
I have been speaking with actor Caleb McLaughlin and writer-director Ricky Stau. We were talking about the new film Concrete Cowboy, available to watch on Netflix today. Caleb and Ricky, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.